Good morning.
Morning.
If you know me at all, you know that frequently I change the order of worship. Today I came really close to changing the time of worship. So while I'm taking a couple of deep breaths and centering myself, if you could turn off anything that's not human that makes noise, that would be awesome. There's mine. And enjoy the prelude and center yourself to be worshiping God. Welcome to the home of God. Announcements today. Our church congregational meeting is the main one I can think of, and that is December 16th, and it will be between services, correct? Yes. Between services, so that way both the people in chapel and the people in our 10:10 service can be here. We welcome Reverend Mac McNamara. We are so thankful that he's normally in the pews, and we are also very thankful that he is in the pulpit today. We are thankful that you're in the pews. We're also thankful you're in the pulpit today. Pledge cards are still being accepted. If you have not given your estimate of giving for the next year, you need to get those into the church office or into the collection plate as soon as possible so that the Stewardship Commission can do their important work on the budget for this year. Church decorating will be Saturday next week on the 1st at 9:30. Please come. There are tasks for all ages. If we end up with a tree that only has ornaments as high as Delilah can reach, that's amazing. If we only have a tree where only Mackenzie can reach, that's fine too. But we do have taller people that we'd like to have helping us as well. There's some work on ladders that needs to be done. So if you are one of those people who can handle the ladders, that's awesome. And if you can't, that's, you know, you can come and maybe pick up Mackenzie so that there's ornaments a little higher on the tree. The rest of the announcements, I'm going to assume that we can all read. Next week is the first Sunday of Advent, so please come, bring a friend. Is there anyone else who has an announcement today? Okay.
Good morning. As we proceed with our search for an associate minister, in our information gathering, we discovered that there were three areas that we need to address before we even begin the search. So since this is not my committee and it's not the information gathering committee's job, we have three areas that we need to have your help in putting together. So the first is our website. We need to make sure that our website is up to date, easy to use, and functional. So if you would like to help out in reviewing the website, adding pictures, or doing something from a technology basis in that, please contact me or Kathy at the church office and let us know that you'd be willing to serve on that committee. The second one is the church profile. This is a rather lengthy, detailed document that we need to prepare that will be put online so that people can understand exactly how many members we have, what our financial position is, what we're actually looking for in the way of an associate minister, and some other areas of ministry that we provide. If you would be interested in helping out with the church profile, also please contact myself or Kathy. The final one is we need to have job descriptions for both the associate minister and the senior minister. This is a very detailed deal. We do not have job descriptions from these. It's not saying that we can't reach out and find them from somebody else, but we want to make sure that these job descriptions fit our needs. So if you have experience in personnel management, writing job descriptions, or have an interest in serving on that committee, again, please let either Kathy or myself know regarding this. We need to get all three of these things done first before we send out our church profile and our search as associate minister. So the goal is to have this completed somewhere around the end of January. So we don't want to stretch this out for a long time period, so I'm not asking for a 6-month or a 1-year commitment from you. I'm asking you to give some time between now and the 1st of February so we can get this task completed and get on with it. So that's all I have. Thank you very much. If you have questions, see me after church.
Any other further announcements? Stand, greet those around you, introduce yourself to anybody you don't know. This is the time, okay, so it's confession time. As Christian disciples, we don't often have a time of confession, but I have been sitting in these pews for 30 some years, and there are people that I would recognize anywhere in the world that I don't know the names. So if you are one of those people, this is your time to, because I'm going to feel free to ask the name of someone that you'd recognize anywhere but don't know their name. When we are finished with that, we will open with hymn number 717. Now thank we all our God. 715. I transpose numbers too. That's the reason why I was never able to be an accountant. Stand, greet one another in Christian love. Thank you. You'll join me in the call to worship. Come, Lord God, open our hearts to receive you.
May you find a resting place in our lives.
Come, Lord Jesus, may your Spirit speak through us.
May we speak with love, compassion, and truth.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord, the holiday of Thanksgiving is over. Most of the leftovers are gone. Advent, that time of waiting and gathering joy, is still a week away. We find ourselves between thanks and hope, but we find ourselves in that ambiguous spot more than we care to admit. Bring us into your presence, Lord, with thankful hearts. Sustain our hope and encourage us to be instruments of your peace. In Jesus' holy name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son. Our hymn of praise this week is number 714, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you. Children, come forward for children's sharing time. I'm subbing for my wife, Joan, today. She's not been feeling really up to snuff, so I'm pinch hitting. So come, children, young ones. Come on. There you go. Good. 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 Hi. Hi, you want to sit next to me? All right, come, sweets. Oh, you want to, oh, Papa's there. Yeah, let's move over so Papa can sit down. Come on, move over here. That's good.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, hi. Well, I, this is going to be a hard question, but can you tell me who Jesus is? Or what does Jesus mean to you? I told you it was going to be a hard question, right?
He watches over us.
He watches over us?
He's everywhere no matter what.
He's everywhere no matter what. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, in our lesson today, there was a man named Pilate. And he was kind of one of the rulers. And he was asking questions. He asked Jesus, you know, who are you? Are you king of the Jews? And he was asking all sorts of questions. But you know, that Pilate, he really didn't want to know. He really didn't want to know who Jesus was or is. So he was asking all some confusing questions. And Jesus wouldn't answer because he knew Pilate was not being honest. Wasn't being true. He wasn't really open to who Jesus is. But I'm going to tell you something. You're right about Jesus being everywhere. But Jesus, not all, he's everywhere, but he's also in you. The Spirit of Jesus is in your hearts. His love is with you always. Always. What's that? Okay, Dad. Yeah, Jesus is always with you, and he is in your heart. He's in your heart. He's in your heart, and he's in your heart. And his love is always with us, and he will always be with us. You're right. He will never leave us. And that is something you should always remember, that God is love, and that God loves you. And God will never leave you. That is a truth. That is a truth that we can all believe in. That God is always with us. That God is love. God loves you. So you remember that, okay? And even you get bigger and bigger and bigger, don't forget that. Always carry that truth in your heart, okay? Good. So I think, are you going to stay today or are you guys going to Sunday school? What's up?
Sunday school.
Sunday school. Okay.
Well, I lost a tooth right here.
Where'd you lose it? Let me open it up there. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know, you'll get a new one coming up.
They haven't grown in yet.
Right here.
Is there?
If you're in preschool or kindergarten, yeah. You go to...
It's almost Christmas.
It's almost Christmas, you know, and we're going to be getting ready for Christmas.
And what about the presents?
What? Well, you know, you're getting presents, but you know what the best present is?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yep. I want to get a princess.
You do?
I want to get
Okay. Well, we got our Christmas lift. Okay. Thank you. A lot of noise there.
It's time to come as a congregation into prayer. If we look at the back of your bulletin, our card shower today is for Betty Blaine. She is one of our seniors. Does someone know, is there something specific going on with Betty? Or are we just remembering her because she's a part of the family? Yes? Okay, so just, this is the time of year when we all need to be reminded that we have a family, even if we don't get to see them on a regular basis. So reach out with your prayer cards. Remember Betty and anyone else who you think needs that little extra reminder that we are a congregation that is praying for each other. As we remember those who are living with cancer, Cal Decker, and Scott Whitcomb, Trisha Wood's father, also Eli Halleck. Is he still in intensive care, Paul? Yes. He is still in intensive care. Max Stewart. This has been just a tough holiday for some of the families that we have. Also, I want to add to this Shirley Morton. If you've been involved with CWF, you probably know Shirley. Otherwise, you probably don't. She comes to CWF regularly. She is here every week for our Wednesday Fellowship Quilters, and she has had a massive stroke and it has moved to hospice. So it seems that our group downstairs is getting smaller and smaller. So please remember her and those of us who love her. Are there other prayer concerns that you would like to bring forward? It was Trina?
Trisha.
Oh. No. Okay. For Hadley, who broke her leg on a tramp yesterday. Okay. Other concerns? Jane? Okay, so for Max and his family and extended family, as they're learning the reality of living with diabetes, Becky, not Becky. Okay. Others?
Cindy.
Yes.
We'll do prayers for Shirley Morton's family as well. Shirley's son, when Shirley had her stroke on Tuesday, came up and then started into AFib. He had had a heart attack earlier on in the year, went into AFib. They needed to adjust his medication, which then caused him to have to be in the hospital. So he's been in the hospital until yesterday afternoon, which means that Shirley's daughter has been providing all of the care around the clock, staying with Shirley all through this time. So prayers for comfort for them and for healing for the son. So hopefully that family can feel the comfort of God.
Thank you. If you could, yes. Okay. If you join us in prayer. Compassionate Creator, we come again into your presence, wounded by the world. But we give thanks that our beloved Christ lived among us and shared both the wounds and the joys of this life. We thank you for the simple joys, for coming together as family, for the unconditional love of furry little pets that always brighten our day. We thank you for light and warmth. And we thank you mostly and most assuredly for your love. We bring to you those among us who we share in our heart and our lives, and we ask you to share your healing, your mercy, your light with those. For Hadley, that she may heal, that she may have patience, which is so difficult for those little ones. For Max and his entire family, as they face a new reality, for his siblings, for his classmates, for his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents, for all of the people who shower him with love, give them strength as they move on. For Shirley Morton and her family, as they also face a new reality, give them strength, give them wisdom, give them hope. For Amber, who we love, please give her strength, give her patience, and give her healing so that she may understand and she may be able to deal with things that feel completely out of control. Lord, be with those who are dealing with the consequences of the time in which we live, of identity theft, of addiction, of the ideas that so often bombard us with truth that isn't really truth. Heal your people. Bring us into life. Bring us into joy. Bring us into community. In Christ's holy name, amen. Life in a Christian community is very much like a stained glass window. We come in all colors. We are born with myriads of possibilities as sheets of colored glass. And like that glass, we are broken, often shattered by life. But Christ takes the broken bits of our lives and he puts us together with all the other broken lives in this place and from the world wide. He creates a mosaic and a landscape and his own heart from all those broken bits. There is room for all followers of Christ. Come to his table. Add your brokenness and be healed. Be part of the church universal. Our communion hymn is number 417. We place upon your table, Lord.
the night before our Lord's death, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me."
Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we thank you for these wonderful gifts, the bread, salvation of our souls, and the juice provides our loving light for each and every one of us. Please give us these to strengthen our soul and our love for you each and every day. In these things we ask, amen.
Christ has given us life in abundance. He asks our joy in giving back a portion of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Be joyful givers as the diaconate serves us. In just a second, I was a little quick today. Let us pray. Our Lord, grant us wisdom and discretion as we seek to use these gifts for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry we're not in the bulletin today. Little short notice, but just in case you don't know who we are, I'm Madison Rouse, that's Pam Rouse, and Amber Rouse on the cello, just in case you don't know who we are. And we are singing a very familiar tune today that you will all know as soon as we begin.
And yes, this is way out of my comfort zone. We tried to get the fourth one in, but he wouldn't do it.
A little stubborn.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. D, please.
Sweet the sound that saved us. Today's first reading is a mixture between Daniel 7, 13 through 14, and Revelations 1, 4b through 8. Today is the 27th Sunday after Pentecost, but is also called Christ the King Sunday. Today, we also celebrate the end of the church year and the witness of the glory of God throughout history and proclaim the kingship of the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. It is a great reminder and preparation for Advent and the coming of the King of Kings, born in a humble stable. I saw one like a human being coming from the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all the peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty.
Our New Testament reading is John 18, 33 through 38, and you'll find that in your Pew Bible on page 113. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pontius replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" He reads the ending. Thanks be to God.
We pray. Gracious One, we give thanks and praise that we're able to gather together as your people and to worship you, to take time out of our busy lives to reflect on your graciousness and your love and compassion. And we pray that we will always walk with you, that you will lead us and you will guide us all the days of our lives. We pray this in your beloved name. Amen. Are you the King of the Jews? It's a simple question. And Pilate wants a simple answer, a simple truth.
Yes or no? You are either king of the Jews or you aren't. Which is it? I bet there have been times in your life when you too want a clear answer and a simple truth. I bet some of you, given this confusing political climate, want to hear a clear answer. Clear answer. We want to know the simple truth. In many cases, you might have taken your own experience, what you knew, what you have been told, what you believed or wanted to believe, and you marked off boundaries of what was true. You wanted to possess the truth. I understand that. I too want to know. I want to possess the truth and know that within the boundaries of that truth, we want to move on with our lives. Well, we know that Pilate wanted to know and possess the truth, but as I told the children, I wasn't sure that he was really honest if he really wanted to know. I think we all do things to try and find out truth. We want to possess it and know that within the boundaries of our truth, we have given ourselves power over our lives. We've given ourselves a sense of stability and security, some predictability and some control. It is often how we respond to the circumstances of our daily lives or the circumstances surrounding our nation and world. There is, however, a dark and dangerous side to claiming possession of the truth. When we claim to be the sole custodians of truth, we put ourselves in a position having to guard, defend, and protect that very truth. We promote and impose our truth on others. Lines are drawn and walls are built. And conversations often are reduced to monologue or rhetoric. And relationships give way to either isolation, polarization, or domination. History has proven that pretty soon, violence arises as a result of the words one may speak and the actions that people may take. Sometimes it is a violence that injures or kills another human being. And sometimes it is a kind of violence that wounds the human soul. At some level, settling for a simple truth and claiming possession of that truth is at the heart of conflict and violence. Let me give you some examples of what that looks like. It looks like hostility, prejudice, or discrimination against people who are not like us. Examples are the attack on Jewish worshipers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or a black couple who were gunned down in a grocery store in Kentucky. Another example looks like the Israeli and Palestinian conflict that seems to continue. It looks like our politicians
claiming to know more and better than their political rivals. Or maybe closer to home, it looks like broken hearts in marriages, families, and friendships, particularly when those involved are seeing things in a black and white way. In each of these situations, someone or some group is claiming the sole possessor of the truth. It is the "I'm right and you're wrong" argument. It is also the argument that doesn't allow space for true listening or dialogue. It is an argument that gets stuck and rigid in positions held. If we are honest, most of the situations are complex, right? Complex. And we have only a piece of the truth. We do not possess the whole truth. If we allow ourselves to look closer, we might begin to realize that truth is never as simple as we want it to be or as we try to make it. There are always another side. Always another side, even if we don't agree with that particular perspective. It seems to me that life is never black and white. If we are honest, coming to this realization is actually practicing faith, practicing life, as well as practicing healthy relationships. Huh? Like it or not, it is the reality that we face every day. I wonder if that is why Jesus does not give Pilate a straight answer in the text that was just read a few minutes ago. Maybe that is his way of telling us that truth is never as simple as we want it to be, never as absolute or asserted to be, and never exclusive as we sometimes claim it. Jesus knows that truth is more than a fact, more than an answer, more than an experience, and that it cannot be possessed. Rather, it is a life. It is a life to be lived. It is a process of reflection, consideration, introspection. It often involves placing ourselves in the shoes of others. The truth to which Jesus testifies is that God is beyond the circumstances of the world. And yet, the truth he speaks is always present in the world. Jesus came into the world to tell us about that truth, to show us what it looks like in human life, and to teach us how to be a part and to belong to God's truth. This is a lesson that Pilate does not seem to understand. He just wants the facts. What have you done? So you are a king? It is a lesson, perhaps, that we all need to learn. Or at least to be reminded from time to time, especially during these difficult times and conflict, divisiveness. To seek and claim sole and exclusive possession of the truth is the way Pilate and the world
operates. But it is not the way of Jesus. It's not the way of Jesus. He never asks us to possess truth about him or anything else. Instead, he wants us to be possessed by his truth, to listen to his voice, to follow his teachings, and to live a life based on his example. That is the truth of life. So here's my question. Do we belong to the truth, or do we live and act as if the truth belongs to us? How we answer that question will determine whose voice we will listen to. It will affect the choices that we will make, the priorities that we establish, and the words that we speak, and the actions that we take. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me, Jesus said. So we ask ourselves, whose voice do we listen to when we act as if the truth belongs to us? In today's climate, is it CNN? Is it Fox News? Or is it some radio pundit? My guess, it is our own voice. We determine our truth. And when this happens, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to hear another person's voice, human or divine. When we listen to our own voice and the voices of those who think and act like us, we may be listening to voices of fear and insecurity. We might be listening to the voice, I am right and you're wrong. I know those voices. I have heard and listened to them. I know they are real, and they do speak truth. It is only a piece of the truth. They remind me that the world is not always a safe place, and that life is not easy. But I know this. There is another voice, a voice that speaks from the kingdom that is not of this world. It is time to practice to listen to this voice, to listen to this voice. It takes time and patience, but it is a voice that we need to listen to. And it is possible, and it is so needed. It is so needed in our world today. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of fear and acts of terror, there is a voice from Isaiah that says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious hand. And we must not ever forget the words of Jesus. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In a sea of human diversity, people who think, act, and believe differently than us, there is a voice that says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In a world with battle lines drawn and enemies named, there is a voice that says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In the midst of a humanitarian need, there is a voice that says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. In the pain of a broken heart, hurt feelings, and betrayals, there is a voice that says, emptiness is not necessarily negative. It can be an opening, a new way of being, a new way of seeing. Listen to Paul in Galatians. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. In the midst of all the clamor and all the noise in today's world, there's always the spirit of a loving and compassionate God speaking to us. It speaks in today's world, speaks to each and every one of us. That is the voice that we want to listen to. That is the voice we should listen to in and through our faith. That is the truth to which we belong to and the life that we are called to live. Amen.
If you are moved to join this congregation, to be your family, we invite you to come forward during our final hymn, number 725, God of the Ages.
gracious ones,
leave this place knowing that God cares for you, that God will always walk with you, and may the Spirit always be with you. Move with a sense of purpose and with a sense of compassion. May you be safe and well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mercy now on me, forgive.